Social health determinants, coordinated by Dr. Carlos Santos Burgoa, by the National Academia, Academy of Medicine of Mexico. He was also a director of this school, and he has worked for this institute, and he's well known by all of us. Carlos, you have the floor. No.
Muchas gracias y quiero agradecerle a la doctora.
Thanks Nelly and the National Institute of Public Health for giving me this very nice experience of spending one whole day at this institute after many, many years. This is my first time, so I am privileged to be with you one whole day. For coordinators, we are starting at 14:40, by the way, just for the sake of time. 2:40. I would like to welcome you to this third plenary session, Alliances in Global Health, a very interesting topic, and now we're going to be naming it Health Social Determinants, and this is a fascinating topic. And if there's something that is 100% global, is the determination of health. This is 100% global. What does determine? What is being determined is global, and the response hasn't been organized globally yet. And I believe that the topic of alliances for this is the challenge we have ahead of us. This is a strategic strategy, what we are about to start discussing at this very moment, and we should not have delays. This study of social health determinants has taken many years of experience. I do not know at what extent global forces are giving rise to it, but the response is something we are starting to bring to the table to determine how we can actually use the strength of globalization for the benefit that we want to have for health. In the National Medicine Academy a year ago, a permanent committee of social health determinants, and we are also working together with the Ministry of Health and with the Institute of Public Health, and we hope we are going to have fruits. But we are very pleased to have the presence of these three experts who are going to be with us. One first person who comes from Latin American multilateral agencies that is going to share an international vision of many different countries. What is the interaction? We also have another person from the academic leadership, and this is also very important because it is not from only one academia that says, I will stay here and I'll be waiting for someone to call me. Exactly the opposite. They are doing the leadership of knowledge in order to promote. And we have another personality that comes from the action. This person comes from the public health action field with all its risks. So we have three personalities who are going to be addressing this topic, which is for some a theoretical aspect, but which is very important. So we're going to start with this panel. We're going to open the landing process. It is 2:43. We have very easy game rules. At the end, we want to have a 15-minute discussion session, and would you please take note of your questions, very specific questions, so that we can challenge our speakers during those 15 minutes. And for the speakers, I have a 3-minute card that I will be taking out after 20 minutes of presentation. After 20 minutes and 3 minutes later, the microphone is going to be turned off. And Dr. Abega, if you are listening to me, you will be subject to this 3-minute card. So this is our starting signal. Let's first start with Dr. Marco Ackerman. Marco Ackerman, he is a friend of mine, and he was a regional advisor for the Pan American Health Organization and local health programs, and he is a collective health professor for the ABC Hospital in São Paulo. He is an expert on public health and social medicine by the Federal University with a master's degree in the sector, planning sector. He is also a graduate from the London University. And Dr. Ackerman, you have the floor. And Paulo, we could go to our seats so that we can better see the presentation. Good afternoon. I am pleased. I am very happy to be with you here in Cuernavaca, in Mexico, with all of you. It is a pleasure. And I would like to start by thanking the organizers of this institute, my colleagues Mario, Nelly, all the ones who have supported this encounter. They facilitated our way from Brazil. They supported us to come all the way from Brazil and from other countries to be with you. I also would like to thank the PAHO and colleagues from the Pan American Health Organization because they allowed me to be in touch with this topic of determinants and social development for the last 3 years. And I was very pleased to work as a regional advisor for this very important organization, international organization. As always, as in most of the presentations, we are never with enough time. I will start by answering everything and then I would only compliment my first slide. The idea is to talk about challenges, achievements, and the future. First, I would like to tell you that there are challenges, conceptual challenges. I will highlight one of these conceptual challenges, the challenge, the causes, how social determinants, how they are very well known, and how we're going to face this challenge, how we can set the priority of our agenda in order to make public policies based on health social determinants, not only to mitigate the effects of the services rendered by health services, the risk factors which are known as the causes of the disease, but I believe the health determinants as one of the causes are the costs of this distribution of diseases. So I believe this is a conceptual challenge that we need to face. Secondly, there is an operational challenge. If the report by this Health Social Determinants Commission gave us a recommendation on the causes of the diseases or the causes of the distribution of diseases, how this is related to the unequal redistribution of power, resources, and services. So we need to ask ourselves, how can we have public policies in order to redistribute resources, services, and power, and how we're going to connect this? Because yesterday in the Ministry of Health, I was pleased to be with some people here, with the people from the INSP, and we were all saying that even church has politics and policies, and this is a separation between the party, social party actions, and the political actions. And so we need to be careful with the word politics, and there is a challenge of how these different words relate public issues and the broader policies. So we need to also talk about achievements. And yes, there are achievements, but achievements are professors for the time being. And I will also ask always whether or not there are life after the launching or the presentation of the report of the social health report, because it was launched or published in the year 2008, and we need to ask ourselves whether or not there is sustainability, if there is movement, if there is mobilization, and the response is yes. The response is yes. So this is my objective, the objective of my presentation, the one that you see here. the main conceptual challenge, and there are many, and I would like to highlight the conceptual challenge of the cause of the causes, and I am will be using the animal world this morning. Remember that we were talking about elephants and dragons when talking about the technical cooperation between India and China. This slide shows a research work made by New Zealand, Australian scientists, and English scientists. This research was published in Nature, and the title is How Important Being Captive Is. And they found that those elephants in a zoo, they will have 30 or 35 years less in their life expectancy compared to free or ecologically parked elephants. The elephants that live in a zoo die because of sedentarism, stress, and obesity. This is the cause of death. Can you tell an obese elephant? Yes, it does exist. Naturally, elephants are never obese, but those who live in a zoo, they suffer from sedentarism, stress, and obesity. And many times, since we work with health, we also work with the stress, sedentarism, and obesity. And sometimes we forget that the actual public policy for elephants should be to live free. To be free. So a good positive public policy is to close zoos down and to go to ecological parks only. And I believe this is like a metaphor of the cause of the causes, isn't it? Because in the actual world, this is not possible, because we may be missing much more ecological parks for all the players, for all the animals, they are players. We also have the case of children or parents of children. They may not be willing elephants to be out of the zoos, because where are we going to have the possibility to take children to see elephants? So it is a metaphor. What is the conceptual challenge of the cause of the causes? So most of the public policies should take into consideration the risk factors, obesity, sedentarism, and stress, and those are the actual causes of the cause of morbidity of the disease of the elephant. This is a metaphor, and we need to think about this challenge, this conceptual challenge of the cause of the causes. Like in elephants, in humans, health is very important, and we need to work always on this concept of the cause of the causes. In terms of social health, and one of the cause of the causes we need to face is like the one we see in this table. Here we are comparing the experience of living in different experiences in Glasgow, in England, where there is an important difference. If you see Glasgow, Scotia, the poor and the rich one, in a country with universal health system, with a social protection system, we still see this type of difference in one same city. So how come we're going to face this cause of causes in this very complex country like England? But here we have a conceptual challenge as well, and this is why Dr. Michael Marmot was responsible for doing this review after he published this for the world. And now we all know which are the differences in Glasgow. Now tell me what to do and how to do. And it was published on February the 11th. This is when it was published, the review of social determinants in England, in order to somehow be able to face this type of unjust or unfair differences in Glasgow. And the main operational challenge we have is, for example, here we have an example of my country, child mortality in my city, São Paulo. Here we can see the differences in one city, and according to my opinion, this is another operational challenge. to work on the cause of the causes and to see the uneven distribution of resources and the distribution of power, and we need to resolve the differences. So there are different processes, methodologies. Sometimes we need to find the differences. In Argentina, for example, here we have an example of a situation that you can see. The first map, for example, here you can see the differences among the different provinces, priorities. The north, for example, and if we break down all this data in the case of apartments, for example, these differences are distributed across the country, and if we do census, we're going to see that the whole country shows differences, the different ways of working. So this is an operational challenge that we need to face in this process of making this health social determinants. We need to land the discourse. It is not only an academic approach. We need to then challenge of breaking down data. This is not necessarily something new in Latin America. Discusses social health determinants. I always think it is not the case of only one country, but we need to also recognize, for example, in this case in Ecuador. In 1982, I was doing my internship in Brazil, and I studied a book titled Health Social Determinants by Jamie. And here my joke is that Michael Marmot was not the inventor of social health determinants. He has worked on the evidence, but there is an important production in Latin America as well as in Mexico. So I took the fact that in Mexico there is information that tells us that poor people face different diseases compared to other more economically favored groups. So it is nothing new in Latin America. There are some other studies from here. This is information from Carlos Borgoa. This is information and studies on marginalization, the differences, and on equity. There is a lot of scientific production. The topic, which is not new, and it is always subject to controversy, we are always having an open debate on the social health determinants, the logic of this determination. I've seen how we have subjects, and then we think that subjects have no autonomy and they have no capacity to fight this. The discussion on social health determinants versus determinants of health inequities, it is a debate that is now open. It is not a closed conversation field. It is a field of conversation. Determinants will talk to ethics, inequality, a theoretical construction field as well. And here we will also have an important discussion why we have social determinants. This wouldn't include political, environmental, cultural, psychological, and spiritual ones. We would like to include all the attributes. So we need to have a debate. But it is not the main object or subject. We need to first land this discussion in specific societies and concrete spaces to face the problem of distribution of services, power, and resources, and inequality. Mirta, she was my boss 3 or 4 years ago, and she recognizes this Latin American information, which is very important. But here we also have research work, and we produce research, and all this scientific research took place during the dictatorship in the different countries. So we need to think how we can bring this knowledge to specific and concrete situations. And there is always an evidence of this inequality in Latin America. the distribution of income and how this income distribution is going to have an impact on health indicators. And if you compare Canada to Haiti, if you compare Paraguay and Argentina and the life expectancy rates, there are important asymmetries among the different Latin American countries. In large scale, Latin American inequalities in the world, there is also an evidence that is increasing and is showing different information. Here, the director of the World Health Organization proposed the creation of the Health Social Determinants Commission with commissioners from different countries, the former president of Chile, the prime minister of Mozambique, India, China. Here we have Michael Marmot, and for 3 years, based on eight networks of knowledge, material was produced, compiled, social health determinants were worked in order to then be able to publish the report that basically worked. Social justice aspects, material, social, and political empowerment, and which are then the adequate conditions in order to live well. This is not a left-wing pamphlet. It is written in the report. Very interesting information by the World Health Organization. This information was backed up or endorsed by the World Assembly. Social injustice. And many times Michael Marmot has said that when the report was published in England, the Economist magazine accused him of being an ideologist. And yes, it is an ideology, but based on evidence. So for us, those who work in favor of public medicine, we wanted to have this document endorsed by the World Health Organization, indicating that social injustice is killing people. And now in my country, unfortunately, there is evidence that social injustice is killing almost 150 people. Many of them suffer from this type of social injustice. So once again, we see that social injustice is killing people in the low income levels. And this was causing other problems. And this is why the question is, what can we do? How can we make cultural changes, paradigm changes, in order to properly distribute resources, services, and power? This is a graphical representation of the social gradient found in different countries. There is a change in this scale, but you see the different countries with the different social gradients. And this is why we say that diseases are related to distribution of power, resources, and services. In Mali, compare it to Peru. But the gradient is shown for every country. Two basic recommendations, which are not only for the health sector. These are recommendations for other sectors as well. And we think in terms of health in every policy. Here we have the route of the political route, how we can improve health and life conditions of people. Another aspect has to do with the intersectorial approach. In the commission, an analysis of 18 case studies of different countries to talk about the intersectoriality aspect. We need to think in different ways to work jointly. This is a very good image for me. I like this picture, and if we continue working individually, we will not be able to have different policies to better distribute power, benefit, and the resources. When we want to have the leadership, there's going to be a competition or a race competition, and we start working in the opposite directions, and then the risk is going to be stopping or giving up. So it is very important to think in this political operational challenge and behind the creation of public policies in order to properly face the social determinants. There is a mandate that tells us that all the American ministers come to the world, to the Pan American Health Organization, and some people have to follow this pact. And since we, like when we vote, we chose ministers of health, and the ones who sign in this letter are the ones that can also put pressure on the health ministers and governments, because we want them to always include health social determinants in the agenda, because this is a mandate of the America's agenda. Three more minutes. I have three more minutes. I told you I was not going to have enough time. So we need to think in the different areas of action, strengthening of capacities. We need to promote all this. And the document, the World Report by the World Health Organization on Primary Health, is another opportunity where the social health determinants can be included. And it would be one way to see specific fields, and this is going to be an area of opportunity. Now, changing our ways of working, it also implies the development of capacities. And in Chile, we now have a provision to have high learning courses which are available in the open web, internet, free. It is used to move teams of people, and it is very easy to have access to these courses. If you access Google, it is an 8-hour course, and there you find all the publications and all the information. Well, and it is a joint effort with other countries, so this is a course that can be used in order to continue with this discussion on social health determinants. Here we have some achievements of the World Health Organization together with the Pan American Health Organization, the Canadian government, in Ecuador, another effort in Ecuador, and other works. And here we have the fire. This is a symbol that this agenda can continue, the agenda of the health social determinants can continue. Brazil, Paulo, I'm sure he's going to talk about this with more detail. Social determinants of health. This is when the report by the commission was given to President Lula. And in Brazil, a decision that is very well related to the social health determinants has to do with the public policies. After a very long time, there is a type of movement of the historical inequity. There is a fall, there is a slow but constant drop. And interestingly, when you compare the GDP of Brazil, Mexico, and the United States and Canada, you can see the Mexican one, the U.S. one, Canada is always going up. So you can see that Mexico and Brazil are together, and we need to think in terms of public policies. And now in our process, we're going to be able to make a better decision, because now we have economic, social policies, and there is a debate to determine if it is social or economic policies, or if it is two of them together, the ones that contribute. It is a new fact, which is the drop of the historical inequality in Mexico, zero. It is not possible. Very quickly, now some of the debate achievements and the discussion on social health determinants. Is Janet going to talk about the Chile's experience? In Argentina, we use determinants in the different communities, and there are lots of life. We have signals of life. I want to after by reading the questions, I would like to know if there are signals of life. Yes, the World Assembly of the World Health Organization that endorsed the report ratified the World Health Organization report. Then we have a global populational encounter organized by a university. These are the different signals of life, and the pointer is not working. Another signal, if you see the Latin American literature and Brazilian and Mexican literature and literature from different countries, you are going to see the very important signals that show the need, knowledge, demand, and supply for social determinants to stay in the agenda of policies, research, and education. There are signals in the literature. In the year 2008 to 2010, there is life after the launching of this report. We wouldn't say this is a green signal. It is a critical analysis, and we need to be careful. We are now watching at the yellow signal, and this is why there are some recommendations, and we need to be careful with this precaution yellow signals. And countries should include sanitary inequality in every policy. The national centralized policies on determinants could be harmonized with the local horizontal trends. Equality should be understood as a social tool. And as Janet said, we need to have an effective program, and it should work. Inequality or equality should be a signal of success and the participation in different movements. And it is important to also talk about Mexico, Burgoa and Colaborado and et al. They are trying to do this dialogue process with all the different organizations. This is the route map. And this is also very important. Yes, elephants, as we do, were made for freedom. We need to improve the life of elephants, elephants and the life of our peoples. Thanks, Dr. Ackerman. We will now give the floor to Dr. Paula Bush. He is a physician, an expert in public health. And Dr. Bush has made important contributions in human resources and public health research. He was the chairman of the Osvaldo Cruz Foundation, Vice President of Information at this institution. Today, Dr. Bush is a researcher at the National School, the Osvaldo Cruz Foundation, a National Coordinator of Social Health Determinants. He's a consultant for the World Health Organization and different organizations and universities, more than 120 publications, high-quality scientific chapters, books, and complete books, and he has participated in more than 200 scientific events and technical events. Welcome, Paulo. Thanks, and good afternoon. Do not trust what he said. He said that because I'm his friend. I will not be talking about elephants, by the way. I would laugh because I like Marcus' presentation a lot. But I will be talking about the experience that we faced in Brazil with the National Commission of Social Health Determinants. And there are many definitions of social determinants, but we work with the easiest, with the very simple ones. Social conditions in which people live and work, and with an influence on the process of health and diseases. And if we want to change the concept and use the more factorial social economical, ethnical, racial, psychological, and behavioral aspects, the ones that influence risk factors and health problems. We work, this is what we used to work in Brazil, to work in the Commission. This is what we use, what we work with. Social health determinants are in the Federal Constitution of Brazil. The Constitution was enacted by the National Brazilian Congress in 1988, 22 years ago. And there is an article of the Constitution that sets forth that health is a right of everyone. It is a duty of the state, and it should be guaranteed by means of social economic policies that would allow for the reduction of disease risks, and it would also give access to service entities for recovery purposes. In other words, the topic of social determinants in the Brazilian society is in the Brazil's constitution enacted by representatives. You know, it was enacted in 1988, and social health determinants were also, they are also present in the law, in the Brazilian law of health. Health is the third article of a law, and I believe this fact is very important because it is a result of a social process. It doesn't come from top. It is a social process that is demanding the presence of this concept in the law of health systems, and health has determining factors and conditioning factors. Among others, meals, housing, basic sanitation, environment, rental, education, income, leisure time, and leisure or pleasure activities, essential goods and services, and health levels of the population as expressed in the World Health Organization. This is a very advanced concept, and it was not achieved. It was not achieved because of the good attitude of representatives. It is a result of a social movement, more than 30 years of social movement. The movement of the health reform in Brazil. It is a movement that started at the university, at the academia, more than 30 years ago, but it is now present among the organizations of professionals, unions, and the result is expressed in the Constitution and in the law of the health system. It is true that many times it is not properly expressed in reality, but social determinants are always present, even in the top and very top levels of the laws. The main health problem that we have in Mexico and Brazil, the one that we have all recognized by the authorities and by the PAHO, in most of the Latin American countries and in Brazil specifically, are inequalities. Social conditions, not even health conditions, not even social conditions, but inequalities when talking about access to all these services. And this is when we need to define the differences, inequalities, health inequalities, which are systematic and relevant ones, and they are unnecessary and unfair. When we have many inequalities, societies with many inequalities, like the Latin American societies, in order to overcome this, we need to have public policies that are to be designed and implemented in order to properly face inequalities. It is not possible because of the invisible hand of the market, as proposed in the last 20 years by the Washington Control, that inequalities are to be resolved if we have public policies. And if we need to see what is the solution of inequalities, and now in the capitalism global crisis that is started at the central level in Europe and in the United States, now we are reinventing and re-implementing the role of the state. I hope it is not only to save the banking, but also to save people, which is very affected by the crisis. This situation, this extreme inequality situation, needs to have public, social, and economic policies as well as health policies, equality or equal policies. I will now mention what happened to the National Commission of Social Determinants and the final report. The final report was published simultaneously than the report by the World Health Organization. I remember when I was talking to Marco, when we were both talking to Michael Marmot, and this is when he wanted to create the Brazilian Commission created by Lula president, and the commission have those three core objectives. First, to generate information, knowledge on social determinants to contribute to the creation of a health equality policies and to work with the different instances of the government and with the civil society. And if we take our main commitments to evidence, equality, and actions, and there were three different groups of content: the analysis of the health situation, the analysis of the policies to determine whether or not they are equal or not, not only health but social and economic policies, and recommendations based on comparing what is the situation, what is the existing inequality, and to determine if policies are or are not equal, and which are the recommendations to be implemented in relationship to policies in order to overcome social and health differences, not only the health differences but also the social ones. These are the members of the Brazilian Commission. The dean of a university, a very well-known actor, actress, singers. We wanted to mingle the society and the scientist. Another participant of this commission is government representatives, because the commission is going to see the policies, but there should be a group of ministries, and the commission was independent from the society. We were working like this because there are different ways to determine determination models. We were working with one of the most easy ones, which is the one adopted by the Brazilian Commission, the layer, the Dahlgren and Whitehead technique, people, then lifestyles, and then communities, social networks, working and living conditions, and last but not least, environmental, social, and economic conditions. So we were working at two different levels. First, we analyzed the different components of the four different layers on the one hand, and the policies developing this model that we are about to present. Then we analyzed distal indicators, intermediate and proximal social determinants, the distal, intermediate, and proximal determinants, with the participation of the society, with interventions based on health promoters. This was our reference frame. So the document has presents the different determinants, and after analyzing the policies, then we have the analysis and the proposals. What we were observing in the policies is that social and economic policies have a low level of articulation and relationship, and there was a low level of concurrence among the different government spheres, because as Mexico, Brazil is a country, is a federation, low relationship with the Ministry of Health in the different cities. There is a fragmentation and there is a redundance of actions sometimes. And something that is very important is policies. Policies are not created to benefit health, but they have a big influence on health. And I believe this is a very important topic, because we believe that we are health professionals. We know how important health is. But people working on education think the same. People working in the environment think the same. And in the economic area, think the same. So we have different visions of bureaucratic people, different visions of social groups. There are some people interested in education, others in health, others in the environment, and this is a reality we need to take into consideration. We analyze very positive policies, but those policies were not implemented or created because they were going to have a health improvement. This is very important. But they were not created with this idea of having an influence on health. So this very health-oriented approach is something that is to be addressed. And we need to ask if policies, what is the influence on health? And if there is any influence of health, there are some provincial policies, and there may be also good policies. We're going to be working with some examples of the different policies that were studied by the Commission, and they show to have a very important influence in the improvement of the health situation. Here we have numbers and indicators. Because of the life expectancy of our child mortality, and one of the most important ones was this income of citizens. This project of income, here we have income transfer to very poor families. This project was present in the 5,564 Brazilian communities, 11.1 million families, and 45 billion people. 45 million people, one of the poorest people. And $4 billion were spent on a yearly basis. In other words, with the monies coming from general taxes, the national state makes a distribution. And the results on health indicators were great. There were people who didn't have, but now they have an income. This was a very important improvement, a very unequal situation at the beginning, and this is something that made a difference in order to improve health conditions. So this is the study of the inequalities. Another very important, which is not that well known, is the National Social Assistance Policy. The benefit of continued benefits. In other words, monies given to elderly people with very low income. These monies, this comes from the national taxes. And then families with people with disabled people. And this radically changed the life of some of these elderly people, very isolated from their family lives. And now it is very important because these people became a source of money for the families. And this is like unethical. This is non-ethical because there are economic interests in the families. And this was an identification we made of this policy, and a very important policy, because It is including very poor people, and there were lots of people excluded, and there were also a lot of people below the poverty line. And those people were able to reach higher levels in terms of goods and important health services to improve their qualities of life. The growth acceleration program with different projects in it, this program which is now implemented in the lowest human development index zones, here we see a very important improvement. There was an improvement in water supply, trash collection in those communities who didn't have these services. This is a very important social determinant. If there is no access to water, collection of trash, it is a reason that it is a reason of many diseases. So it comes from the area of urban development, but there is a huge influence on health. So this is something that is we believe is a policy to face social determinants. And if people say we're going to have utilities, they never talk about the health benefits. And this is because they have this obligation in the ministries of the different cities. So I believe this consideration is very important. We should not only think in central terms, we should not only think in this. This is something that comes from the health sector. We need to have a global vision, global governance of the different governments, depending on the level, provincial or local government levels. And the health family program in Brazil has been very important as well. Today, we know for certain that out of 188 million Brazilian people, practically 50% of the population have free access to health services, to primary health services. And this is a study made periodically, and it was also carried out by the Commission. In general terms, this family program, family health programs, we have almost 31,000 teams, a physician, nurse, assistants, and community representatives. Those teams also work on oral health. All teams have 1,000 families. Now this program is including 5,285 out of the 6,500 Brazilian municipalities. I will not repeat all the information because it would be a very long presentation, but if we see, yes, we saw improvements in the different social and programs, education, science and technology. Another fundamental policy, social determination. In the last 10 years, there was a drastic reduction in illiteracy. Basic education, we do not know what the quality is. Technical education, credits, subjects, all this that would allow students to have access to this. Expansion of financing of research. This is robust science, but it would be very important to have this. There are other policies which are very important to in relationship to social networks. All the policies that I've mentioned so far, an interesting and important characteristic of the Federation is that in every policy there is direct control of direct democracy, not only the control by the representatives but also direct control of those people involved in social policies. Also, the change of behavior. The change in the behavior, this has also been analyzed, and we were asking, what if these policies, what is the influence of health? How can they be formulated? And how can they be implemented? And I will make repetitions. As policies should be national ones, provincial, local ones. This is what we thought and what we did in Brazil. Financial transfers among the different levels of the governance and the construction of a new governance. It is not possible to do different things if we maintain the tradition of dominant bureaucracies or political pacts. We need to do this just by relating the municipal secretaries to prepare the leaders of the communities to have an intersectorial dialogue, to work with the participation budget, and it would be impossible for me to make an explanation on each one of these words, but we're talking about concepts which are worked and included in the report by the Commission. And I can give you the electronic website where you can have the report, where you can find the report, even in Spanish. And here we need to determine if healthy municipalities are the correct spaces to talk about social determinants. And this is another example that we can see in many other different countries. We have intersectorial relationships. It is very good to talk about intersectorial relationships. How are we going to make it possible? How are we going to change our isolated practices? How are we going to separate bureaucracies, for example, at the different ministry levels, and the separation of knowledge, or even the social movements? We have three walls. We have three walls that we need to collapse. One, the one that is among the different, to break the walls of knowledge, because professionals of health, environment, housing, transportation, they need to have a well-informed vision. And we should also break the barriers of the social movements, because social movements only talk about one specific situation. And if we are talking about, and if we say that fundamental intersectoriality for health, that we need to see the different social sectors, social movements, and non-government organizations. This is going to be the end of my presentation. I hope you were able to understand my Portuguese in Spanish. It is necessary to have a new governance in order to reach intersectorial policies. Is it necessary to change how we're going to produce knowledge? Do we need to collapse the barriers of knowledge, because we cannot have a dialogue? And in social movements, we need to work jointly, not only for our own interests. Thanks, Dr. Bus. And please be ready to have a discussion with these three personalities. Now we will go to Janet Vega's presentation. She is not with us because she had a health problem, but she wanted to be present virtually. She is now in Chile, in Santiago, and she is connected. Welcome, Mrs. Vega. Janet Vega completed last March the role of Under Secretary of Health. Health. She was also in charge of Health, the Social Determinants Department in the World Health Organization. She graduated from the medicine school, and she has another PhD degree from the Illinois University on public health determinants. No oigo. The time when I was in the undersecretary, I will start with my presentation first. To complement what Dr. Paulus Bus said, the first thing is that the topic of social policies, it is a state issue. If not, it is one of the necessary conditions, and it would be impossible to make a change. It should be a state topic because we need to have a social model, a social perspective, a social approach. And this is why we need to have the idea of the welfare state. The state with the social definition of protection. And this is why in Chile, during the post-dictatorship periods, we have always emphasized social policies that would allow at least to mitigate the effects of other economic models. We need to be in charge of the social debt. We need to pay attention to all social policies. We need to have a specific programs. And the emphasis was to eradicate. We made an effort to start programs to benefit programs. There are some similarities with other. Here we have no transfer of resources. We only have a redefinition effort. And then with President Lagos, and then we have Bachelet's administration. She pay attention to social responsibility. She had a very important program, which are the highlighting issues to have policies to favor poor people and redistribution policies, and this is to close the gaps. We should also make a balance between a universal perspective. We need to have sectorial central policies, and we need to also have some specific programs in order to support all the ones who need it. So what we have in Chile is a system where we know that social protection is going to be socially guaranteed, is going to be socially insured institutionally, programmatically, financially, as well as legally. In other words, the system of social rights is going to translate in very specific zones. There are places where the priorities of the country, not only universal access to health, but also access to good quality based on protocols and access to financial protection. In between the year 2006 and the year 2010, with Bachelet, we made an approach of a social policy with social guarantees and with pure financing. Taking care of citizens all the way from the day when they are born to the day when they die, to give, to render services in every social scale and to offer very good quantitative services. Here we have a summary of some of the programs. Now, when we started to work with the Ministry of Health, we defined our priority agenda. We wanted to include the area of the topic of health social determinants, and we have 7 objectives and 14 actions in order to meet our objectives. These 7 objectives are the ones that you see on this slide, but since we have very little time, I will only share with you a couple of slides of the actions to implement social inclusion programs. The first one is a program we made with the different communities to assess barriers of access to health services, access inequalities, from the perspective of the needs, not only considering the utilization of service, because this is the moment when people are in touch with the service. This is represented in the second bar, but to see the problems of those people who didn't have access to health services. So we worked with different groups working for the communities and with our primary service teams, government teams, and the regional and ministerial teams. We were working in the 92 most vulnerable communities across the country. This work was carried out by regional teams and provincial teams, the ones devoted to this vulnerable community program. Here in this slide, you see the organization made at the level of each one of the regions. These are like the representatives of the ministers. We also have a public health insurance, health services, and we have others. So what did we do? What did we do specifically? We worked with 160 communities with which we made the diagnosis. We made an action plan in order to do things so that we wanted people to have access to health services, and we also made social work, and we work with 1,000 people, and in those situations we walk them through, we took them to the different subsidies offered by the government, because we wanted people to know what they were supposed to have access to. Some of the things we achieved was to have a massive training campaign of all technical people and paramedic people, to train all those who are in the different communities where there is an extreme poverty. We were coordinated with the Rural Equality Program people, which is a responsibility of health services. We also give technical support. We help all the communities, and we also made innovative strategies. We gave We created packets with all the instruments, like a toolkit, in order to do preventive treatment in those places where there were no health structures. And we were also able to work at the intersectorial level, because by means of this diagnosis with the communities and with the different sectors, we were able to create a regional committee with a possibility to identify those populations, to include all the communities that were not having access to government programs. We wanted to have regional and community networks. We wanted to communicate the rights of people, and we also wanted to incorporate. We wanted to have working tables at the regional levels in order to participate in different projects which are not necessarily part of the health sector, but that will somehow have an impact in the health. Lack of roads, lack of utilities, lack of infrastructure. This is one of the things that I will describe. Something else that I want to describe is that in order to achieve all this, you need to have more information on what is happening at the regional and community levels. And in order to have this information, we continue with the work we did at the World Health Organization. We define the set of indicators based on the conceptual framework, the theoretical frame that we made, because we wanted to measure inequalities from the problem perspective, intermediate problem and inequality perspective. And what you see here is that we generated indicators, middle, different levels of social determinants, regional and community levels. What you see here are some of the things we started to map. Here you see how each one of the different communities look like in one specific region, and what is the index with respect to these defined indicators. Then we have other charts that we made for each one of the regions for the different social determinant areas, poverty, occupation, and we also have health damage caused by these social different levels. Then we use this as an index for each one of the regions. We wanted to see, we wanted to compare this to the rest of the country. So what you see here is a system, a stoplight system for the different regions and for the different communities, how we compare them in terms of the indicators that we define. So here, for example, structural indicators. Here we have the percentage of people living in poverty. We also have the percentage of those who are not employees, the number in the region, the average in the country, which was the worst region and which was the best region, and how the region was in relationship and how the region compared to the rank and to other regions. And what you can see here is that policymakers could see how the region was doing. The more reds, the worse the situation was, and the more greens, a better percentile. So it could be compared to other communities, and this was a way to know where to focus. In this specific case, you see there is a very important problem in terms of health indicators. Here you see the very important unsatisfaction rate. Here we have a problem with critical beds. Here we have an important informal employment problem, and there is an important poverty problem. summarizing, and we need to summarize what we've done so far, but this is a country-wise strategy. It's not only one sector's strategy. We need to change our approach. We need to go to have a comprehensive approach. What we normally do is that we organize all our services based on the supply, and then the different sectors are going to make sectorial efforts that will lead people to be in better conditions. And how? And then how we are going to adapt people to our supply, to our offering. So this is what we've done so far, but we need to do the opposite. Communities, individuals, families are at the center, are right at the center, and we need to have the capacity to bring our actions, and we need to adapt our supplies, our offering to the needs, to the existing needs and to the existing communities, and we need to be together with the families all the way from the moment when they are born to the moment when they die. Since we have no time, here you have a website where you can see all the things we've done and what we do to achieve a progress and improvement in Chile. Community, train the trainers, the development of competence, many other things. I will now invite the members of the table to come with us. And Mrs. Vega, please do not disconnect. Unlock. We are going to start the presentation. Thanks, Mrs. Vega, for giving us a little bit more time. Now we have 15 minutes for our discussion. So we will now open the floor for those to those who want to ask questions to our panel members. Questions or comments? Both. Here we have one. Please raise your hand so that you can have the microphone.
Doctora Vega, muchas gracias.
Mrs.
This is
Vega.
Lexi Nolan.
Muchas gracias.
A question for you in relation to the recent change of government in Chile. You have shown in your presentation that there has been long and sustained commitment to these values. And I'm wondering what your predictions are for the next administration in continuing this work.
Para continuar con este trabajo. Dr. Santos Burgoa, shall I reply now? Okay, give you an answer now? Yes. Personally speaking, I believe the result of the Chile's election process is a product also of the process after 20 years. In other words, now citizens are empowered, and we are not afraid of the left wing any longer. So my prediction for the next years, after what just happened to us, the devastating earthquake, it affected the structure of the country. My prediction is that all the work in the area of social protection is going to be pretty well suspended, and what we're going to see is a return to the pretty orthodox approach on growth. Unfortunately, with the earthquake, we also have an opportunity to now transfer resources, private and public resources, because public supply, for example, public hospitals are pretty damaged. So in practice, we need to make a very important reconstruction effort. And it would be easier to buy benefits. And I could give you many, many examples. I do not have a very positive forecasting. I believe we are going to be with the right wing again. Are there more comments?
Gracias. Mi pregunta es, se habló mucho de más políticas públicas. Mi experiencia es que hay muchos cambios, mucha rotación en las secretarías de salud en muchos países. ¿Cómo garantizamos que estas políticas...
Creo yo que esta es una pregunta general a la mesa.
I believe this is a general question for all the panel members, Marco, Mrs. Vega. Marco, if I may, I would like to answer that question because it is a basic question. What happens here is that the turnover at the ministries of health is related to officials. And if we are convinced about what we say, and if we know that our role is to generate a discussion and transparency process with all our citizens, the truth is that this turnover should not negatively affect this process. But we need to meet one condition. The work has to come from a setting, from a discussion, to know where we are standing and to reach a basic understanding and an agreement that we are talking about the same. Because if we do not have this understanding and agreement, we will not be able to make any progress.
Sí, se escucha.
Yo creo, ¿se escucha o no? Bueno, yo creo que la sustainability.
After administration changes, sustainability will come only and as long as the society perceives and sees the advantages of the programs and of the initiatives. How valid these social health determinants are for the society. In other words, I cannot visualize, there is no other way to me, because governments are democratically elected. And it depends on the discussions. There are different social health problems. Because of the experience, Lula has been there for 10 years. Our previous president, after 8 years, there was not a separation between the health programs of the first 8 years of one political party and then 8 years of administration of Lula, because social policies that were defended by the two political parties were very similar in the area of health. And I join your work. Personally speaking, I like her very, very much, and I respect her because of all her work in Chile. And we are very sad if the new administration would change things in Chile significantly, because it has been a great consultation work in your country. So I would be very sad. In Brazil, we have two government possibilities. The president, a female president, or a male president. I do not know what Marco's opinion is. If the female candidate is chosen, little things are going to change, only a few things. Based on the knowledge we have of Serra, he was the Minister of Health. The candidate we have today, he was the Minister of Health. So the analysis and our predictions is that Brazilian health policies are going to change, are going to suffer minor changes. We are going to basically continue with the same. To reach political sustainability, we need to institutionalize. We
We need to see the social health determinants, and the population should also embrace the programs, and this is one way to achieve permanence of these policies. Are there more comments or questions? This is a question for the three panel members. This is a Congress on Global Health Alliances. And as Marco Ackerman said, out of this, out of health social determinants, I mean, we've been talking about for many, many years about health social determinants, but now there is a repositioning of all these social determinants. And this is because of a global influence, because there is now a report that is generally or globally generated, and it is now giving place to more activity. How can we use the strength of globalization then? How can we use this globalization in order to promote and foster the efforts by the different regions and countries in order to then promote management of social determinants so that we can close the gap, as the report indicates? This is a very good question, because I would like to remind you what we saw a year ago in the World Assembly, the resolution of 191 countries on the report published by the Commission on the report on social determinants. It approves, as Marco said, all the content of the report, and it asks the General Director, Margaret Chun, to invite, to call up, to have a global conference on health social determinants in order to build a global strategy and an action plan for the World Health Organization and of the countries and other agencies of the United Nations in order to face social determinants in a coordinated action among the different countries, with the World Health Organization. Brazil proposed to lead this conference, and this was accepted. So in next October 2011, in Rio de Janeiro, we're going to have the Global Conference on Social Health, Health Social Determinants, in order to establish, to reach an agreement on a global strategy in order to face social determinants and to have an action plan to be taught by the World Health Organization, to teach it to UNDP, International Labor Organization, the International Organization for Migration, UNESCO, UNICEF, and it is like a dream to be able to have this conference on social determinants, to look for the commitment of all the countries with the presence of the civil society. This would be the big distinction. We have we will have the participation of the civil society organized with 600 people from the government and 600 people from the civil society. I believe the expectation that we have with this conference and from this conference is that we're not going to address globally social determinants. Rather, this work that we are starting as of the month of May, when we are going to start discussing how this global, for 15 or 16 months, we will have the possibility to make a big movement by the government, the civil society, in order to find ways to jointly face this in a globalized world of social determinants at the global level, at the level of each one of the countries which are part of the World Health Organization. Dr. Ackerman.
Yo estaba pensando en esta pregunta que.
I was thinking on this question asked by Carlos Burgoa, and I believe, globally speaking, despite of the fact that we have different contexts in different countries, we need to have like a framework, a conceptual frame to think in terms of policies. We always work in terms of access, which is very important. We want to understand those who come, those who arrive. He is speaking Portuguese. A way to make policies. Those who are not benefited, those who I need to not only analyze some of the populational groups, we need to address policies. Yesterday, Janet said that an effective health policy. So thinking in terms of a global framework to include health policies, effective policies to promote equality, others which are not equalitative policies, which are not health policies, which are not the ones which are the ones which are not equal policies, the ones which are not health policies. So we need to have a way to think in terms of political in health policies. We need to have a global approach.
Doctora Vega, no sé si
Mrs. Vega,
abordará la respuesta.
Would you like to respond? What I do believe is that there is a big challenge at this very moment. We need to think in terms of the challenge to translate this discourse. How are we going to bring discourse into coherent fields where we can implement health policies? And there are many things that do not have this specific name, but I believe there is a need, a specific need for work. We are the ones who have the history of what is social medicine in the world. And there are some possibilities to work. We have working teams. There is richness in our different work teams. And in our countries, we also have models for health and other social models. We can work with the government, NGOs, and the academia. We need to have an adequate establishment of the different working models. We come to the end of our time. It is 4:10. Thank you very much. Thanks to the organizers. Thanks to Pablo Boss and Marco Ackerman and Janet Vega. Thank you. Muchas gracias.